The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome, everybody. It's Kiefer and Curry here on TKR. Kip Kiefer, Tony Curry, ready to discuss the issues of the day. And this one, Tony, you and I alternate weeks coming up with ideas. I threw out an idea to you yesterday, and you said, let's go for it. This is kind of like we're on a big Autobahn kind of highway going 100 miles an hour with the Kiefer and Curry show. And this next exit looks really intriguing and interesting, but we really don't know what we're getting into. So we're on the exit ramp. We're heading up, and we'll take it wherever we end up. Because what I propose to Tony is, it's something that I think about a lot and experience. We're both at about the same quadrant of life, mm-hmm. where we've been at this making a living thing for a long time, and it's kind of second nature to both of us.
Yeah.
Where a lot of our emphasis and time and priorities on that. But both are divorced men, getting a little bit older. And Tony, I kind of want to just swap experience with you. Because I find at this stage that I don't really know exactly what I want in terms of companionship and somebody in my life. But I think the real theme of this discussion is to acquaint people and maybe I present some information that some other guys can identify with, maybe even the ladies, that at this age, seemingly, it should not be very difficult because we know what we're doing and been around for a long time, but it is a jungle out there. It's tough. I kind of wanted to exchange that thought process with you and just kick this around and see where we go.
I love the fact that you're willing to show your wares and to air your dirty laundry. No, if normally when I sit there and say, let's go for it, it turns out to be some of our best shows. I think I speak for you. Our illustrious broadcasting careers pretty much stand on their own merit. We've pretty much been there and done that. We've broadcast from all over the world, all over this country at different particular levels. But when it comes to the dating scene, that is something that we really haven't bared our souls to. And I think it's really interesting. You know, you brought up a great analogy at the beginning of this, and I thought it was really interesting. I always talk about marriage like being on an interstate. Mm-hmm. You talk about going down the Autobahn. I always tell friends of mine, and certainly I'm not no smarter than anyone else, but I have been on that that love interstate, and it's like 65 or 459 or any other interstate, but both directions are going the same direction. There's not a north and a south. They're going the same direction. And if you're going down the interstate and you look over to your left or your right, depending on which side of the road you're on, you'll see your mate. And sometimes you see the other side. Sometimes you don't see the other side. Sometimes the interstate runs right up against each other and there's just a small little barricade in between the two sides. Sometimes mm-hmm. there's a lane replacement where the lanes actually switch. And then sometimes there's like a mile in between the interstate where sometimes you don't even see the other side. And I just tell my friends, don't ever get off the interstate. Just stay on the interstate. Yep. Because once you get off one of those off ramps, it's really difficult to get back on and find someone you're willing to travel with. And, I do think, and this is really interesting too, because when you brought this up, the first thing I thought of was the transfer portal.
Exactly. That's a great one.
We mentioned that as of about 2-3 years ago, roughly 7% of all college kids are in the transfer portal. Now that number is 1 in 5. We just don't see the elegance. We don't see the beauty. We don't see the sentimentality. We don't see the wonderment of a commitment, not only in college sports, but in relationships, period, anymore. And you know, this has been going on for a long period of time. For the first time in the history of the United States of America and this earth, we have more single people on this earth than we have married people. That's the first time in the history of record keeping. I don't know if you realize that. That just happened in 2022, but we have more single people now on this earth than we have married people. And I'm not sure what that says about us. I think as we have politicized this world, I think as we get further apart than not closer together, as much as we want to debate each other rather than try to find our common grounds together, I think that everyone wants to kind of be on their own. I think the idea of being in your 30s, 40s, and 50s and being divorced and not having to answer to anybody seems kind of sexy to some people. But much like you just said, be careful what you wish for, because having that person to walk through your life with and share different situations with is really important in our life, particularly at the age we're in right now.
Yeah, I think that was perfectly said. And it's really a synopsis of exactly, you know, what I wanted to get into. I know one of your longtime radio partners is Dr. Clay Powell. Maybe we should have had him sit in on this, because you and I can provide some cross therapy here, but maybe he can listen to this later and we can expand the program, because what you just said is so spot on. It isn't, I don't lament the fact that I don't have somebody to, quote, come home to, but it's disappointing in life for me to be as busy as I am with daily responsibilities. I still have a regular job. I do a lot of the broadcast programs. I was called on by a former employee to do a lot of consulting earlier this year that lasted about 3 months, and I was traveling just about every week. Was really keeping busy. Have had a really good year in a financial standpoint with so much going on. And so, you know, everybody from the outside looking in, all my friends say, you know, well, gosh, you know, you're on easy street. You've got it all going on. You're doing what you want to do. But there's just something missing in your life when, like you said, you get off that highway and you're kind of driving the back roads of life, and it just seems like you're left out of the mainstream a little bit of that flow. And you know, I don't know, and I didn't expect that it was going to be this difficult when I got my divorce, and it's unbelievable to me to think about it, but it was 19 years ago for me, and my children were pretty much at the stage where yours are now, in their teenage years. My youngest was only 10 at the time. But, you know, Tony, I took a complete departure because, you know, even though my wife and I had reached a point where she didn't want to be married anymore, I was all in as being a dad. It was the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. It still is the greatest thing. I was not going to miss my son's lives, and I became just determined that I was going to be more involved than even before, just to make sure that that I made the contribution that I was committed to. And my sons have both been tremendously successful, and all of that was worth it. But for about 10 years, you know, basically, I was completely out. I didn't date. I wasn't interested. I had a full schedule of things to do. And when I did get back into it, it has not been easy. I've tried a lot of different things. And like you said, knowing that a lot of people are out there that are single, and there's just tons of women, terrific women that, you know, have had their marriages end and they're free agents. But I think, you know, and this is a good way to throw this out and get your reaction is, I think a lot of women are so almost in a PTSD mode after their marriages fall apart that they become really cautious and really meticulous about what they're looking for. And a lot of them just kind of shrug. My mother was this way. My parents got divorced when I was 13 back in the 1970s when You know, it was not fashionable at that time. Everybody was married.
Yeah.
And so I came from a broken home and I was determined that that wasn't going to happen to me. And lo and behold, it did. But my mother dated a little bit. She was only in her mid-30s at the time, but she never remarried. And by the end of her, you know, in the next 20 years would say, I don't need some stupid man. I think a lot of them become utterly independent. So, you know, I never anticipated. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I think we're kind of up against it here. It's just it's a tough thing to accomplish.
What I think is really interesting here is I think we're talking full circle and just listen to you speak about your life. And I feel a tinge of pain and resentment in some of the words that you say, because I've been there the same way. It's not been 19 years since I've been married, but I was married for 19 years and divorced about three years ago. It's interesting. You talk about the women, and some may hold harbage to this, but I think they would understand what you mean by the PTSD of what a divorce actually is. It's one of the most painful, horrible things that anyone will ever go through. And if you're one of those people that's got, you know, like a paint on the back of on the back of your car, you know, hootie hoo, newly divorced, blah 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 blah, and you're so much happier, you're so much happier being out of a relationship, God bless you, that's wonderful. If your marriage was that horrible that you can actually celebrate the breakup of something that before God's eyes you wanted to spend the rest of your life with someone for good and for bad, and you can find the good in that, there are good, there's no doubt. There's pros and cons to everything. There's pros and cons to marriage. There's pros and cons not being married and being divorced. But what I think is interesting is I think, and there's a reason why the marriage window roughly is, you know, it used to be the 7-year itch. It is no longer the 7-year itch. Now it's somewhere between 15 and 18 years. And one of the reasons I think that falls in that window is because where are your children in those windows between 15 and 17? I know you as a friend, I know you as a confidant, but I know you probably more as a father than anything. And I know what a great dad you are and how important it is to your children. If there's one thing that I would thank my lucky stars and my ex to the day she dies, would be thanking for her for bringing another human being into my life that I can share my life with, and that being my three children. And I know you feel the same exact way.
Absolutely.
I, you know, if you go into a marriage and you don't have children, and that's your call. I know some people go in, hopefully, a lot of couples don't even have that conversation anymore. We sat down and said, listen, we want to have a biological and we want to adopt. We knew exactly what we wanted to do and how we wanted to do it. Now God throws some life changes at you, and we did some things a little backwards, but we were blessed to have not only one adoption, but two adoptions. And then, you know, at the age of 40, God has a sense of humor too. He brought along a biological at the age of 47 years old. I'm having my first biological daughter. But I do think, and I hope you feel my vibe here. I think depending on when you get married, and obviously every situation is different, depending on what your social economic situation is, whether you both work or not, I think is very, very important, because I know growing up in my lifestyle, one person stayed home with the children, the other one went to work, and I was the one that went to work, and my ex, who did a wonderful job, and I realize it's the most difficult job out there. She was a great mother to my children. And then, you know, as the marriage breaks apart, and I think in most cases it's death by a thousand cuts, as opposed to one really bad infidelity or one bad financial mistake. It seems like I said, the interstate, just don't get off the interstate. I think the interstates start getting further and further apart. I don't think, oh, you know what? I have realized I just haven't seen I-65 South in about 15 or 16 miles. you realize that as you're going through, and you're like, well, you'll see it again. I'm sure that, you know, it'll meander through the mountains, and I'm sure I'll see the other side. Next thing you know, you never see the other side and you wonder what happened. And that's one of those head scratching moments where you're like, what just happened? And people are like, did she cheat on you? Did something financially happen? Did you lose your job? They're like, no, we just grew apart. We grew apart over a long period of time and didn't realize that. Always thinking, and this is where guys, you know, we're kind of dumb in this thing. We always think things are going to work out. It'll work out. We like to duct tape things. We had a problem there, but I don't think there's any reason really to discuss it because I love her and I know we're together forever and, you know, things will work out and they don't. And that's why, you know, whenever you talk to somebody, I know guys hate this word more than anything, but communication is the most important thing. You're much better off to hurt the feelings of your mate in year two than to hurt their feelings in year 20, because when you say it in year 20, chances are you're never going to be able to say it again. You might as well hurt those feelings early on, know where you stand and communicate early in a relationship as opposed to just letting things grow apart. But what I find is really interesting, and I meant this from a cyclical standpoint, is most women who have been dealt with this PTSD and the forgery of a particular relationship that just didn't turn out the way they thought, and white picket fences and 2.3 children and you know, retiring down the beach, I had this feeling would be happy with the man they eventually divorced, but they just didn't stay with it long enough. And I'm not saying that there's not fault on both sides. I'm not saying the man did not communicate as much with the woman as the woman needed to communicate with the man. But it does seem like I look at, and I guess my point is this, I look at my ex-wife right now and think I'd be a perfect mate for her.
Mm-hmm.
We're in our 50s. I think we both want the same things spiritually. I think we're on the same paths. We both have three children, who we love very, very much. We're both very good, very good parents. And I think to myself, you know, if I had to set my ex-wife up with a man, I would be that man. Yet I'm not the one that's the fit for her. I'm the one she divorced. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, everything you say is making perfect sense. First of all, I only have two, unless there's one I don't know about, but
that's a different show. Yes.
But exactly. I mean, you could not have described my situation better, because what caused my divorce basically was I was busy all the time. I was managing a big enterprise. We moved to Kansas. She was a stay-at-home mom and did an unbelievable job with my sons. To this day, she is the best mom possible. And I always tell her this now, because we're probably closer now, 19 years removed, after the tough 5 or 6 years of not communicating very much in post-divorce, but we are extremely close now, because we have the same bond that we had in our marriage, and that's those two boys. And, we're both thrilled with the young men we created and who they are. My anniversary would have been this past November, not that long ago, November 15th. Married in 1986. So this would have been, a 37-year anniversary. And I texted her on that day and I said, thank you for the greatest gifts that anyone's ever given me. And that's kind of where we are right now. She has remarried. She married a terrific guy who does a lot of things, takes her on these great trips, and they go to Iceland and they go to Europe and they go to Australia and for a week or 10 days at a time. And he's a retired accountant and she's living in Fort Lauderdale, having a great life. But we get together quite often at events. We'll as dysfunctional and as modern family as it sounds, she and her husband will be in Las Vegas for Christmas with the family. I get along very well with her husband, who's a big sports guy, and it's just kind of a weird situation. He had a really bad divorce with his wife and doesn't communicate with her hardly at all. But he took a while to get used to the situation, but I think he knows that, my wife was kind of high maintenance and she deserves to be. But for 4 or 5 years, I think he kind of questioned my motivations. I think he kind of gets it now that I had my turn. She's all yours now, bud. But But that's kind of the same things you're describing, and we appreciate what we did together, and really at its core, and we can have frank discussions of what happened, and she concedes, I bailed out when I shouldn't have. She wanted more of a conventional life. I was running a racetrack in Kansas. Worked, till 2 o'clock in the morning, was up and back on my way to work at 9 the next morning. And any time that I had and any time that I could squeeze in, I was not going to miss the chance to coach my kids and be involved in their lives. And pretty much her priorities and my priorities were on those children. And, we did not emphasize our own relationship enough. So both have regrets that we didn't tough it out through a time where I lost that job, and she kind of freaked out because we were in a position that I had to find work and keep the oil well producing, and it was just a tough stretch that we should have toughed out, because not knowing what I know now and how you so accurately described it, I was on the right highway. That's where I wanted to be. And somehow found my way off of it. And now, it's very great to be in a position where you are managing your own time.
Yes.
You set your own priorities. You do pretty much what you want to do. But there's a big void in life, because I don't have that person to go on trips with, or, go to an elegant dinner or a weekend junket with. All of my idle time where I'm thinking about or preparing to do what I got to do the next day, I'm pretty much by myself. And I a lot of people choose to be isolated. I don't really choose to, but I don't have the options available that I would like to have to remedy that situation, because it's just really tough to find somebody who is willing to kind of create this sort of hybrid relationship that fits both your needs. And it's like having a puzzle where the pieces don't really fit together. That's what I'm kind of finding. And so, spending most of my non-working time by myself is really wearing on me.
You know what? That's amazing though, because if you put what you just told me and you just nailed it, if we knew then what we know now, and that's certainly one of those silver linings to a divorce, to a breakup, to you thinking to yourself, you know what? I keep telling my 16-year-old son, I promise you, if you go up and ask that girl out, she will go out with you. And he's so nervous because he knows no one likes to be rejected, right? Men hate being rejected. And I'm like, and now I'm that 16-year-old kid. Now I'm the one that's afraid to take that step. And I look at it and go, I promise you, if you go out and ask her out, you need to take chances. You need to feel failure so you can find success. You need to realize that she's not always going to be the first one that says hello. But when you find that one that says hello and that one that says yes, that's going to be the right one for you. But just based on what you just told me, sounds like a really good get for me. If I were a woman and I was in my 40s or 50s and I was looking for a relationship, someone to go on weekend junkets with, someone to have elegant dinners with, someone to actually hold hands in church with, to actually have that person in my life. In most cases, you don't want someone that's going to puppy dog you or smother you, and you're not asking for that. You're not asking for someone that wants every waking moment of every waking day with you. You're not asking that because and isolation is not the right word, but you are an independent individual. And I think a lot of females find that very attractive. They find that very alluring. That's how we pick the women up, right? Is when we were kind of aloof and a little independent, maybe even a little narcissistic when we grew up, and women find a lot of allure in that. But I mean, the guy you're describing to me sounds like the kind of guy that a woman in our certain age group would absolutely love. And I think what we need to do is we need to jump back out there again. It's weird because, you know, I haven't dated anybody. My daughter's been asking me now for 3.5 years, Dad, do you think you're ever going to get married again? I go, the whole marriage pot to me just doesn't even sound fun anymore, just because I went through it and I've been through it and I've gone through the pain of divorce. And I don't know if I ever want to go through that again, but you got to date somebody first in order to marry them. Right. And so maybe we're getting too far. Maybe we're too smart for our own good. Maybe just through our acknowledgments of success and failures and relationships, maybe we just need to get ourselves back out there, whether it's speed dating or match.com or farmersdaughter.com or something. Maybe we just need to step our toes into the cold end of the pool again, and stop worrying about, you know, how deep it is, and just kind of dip our toes in and get back into that mix. And I've always used this analogy too about chasing the dog in the park. You know, I've always told people I'm not going to chase the dog in the park anymore. I chase too long. I'm going to sit on the park bench and hopefully that dog will jump up on my lap and will sit in my lap and I'll know it's the right one. But sometimes you got to, you know what, if you're sitting in a dogless park, that's never going to happen. You're sitting in a park with no dogs, it's never going to jump up on your lap. So maybe I need to find a park with more dogs.
Well, Tony, I think you and I have a lot of similarities to this, because I feel like I drown in all the cliches of all my married friends that have, you know, now are celebrating 35 and 40 year anniversaries. And here I sit with my marriage. You said 15 to 18. Well, mine ended after 14 years, but it's 19 years ago. That's a long time to be on the sidelines. But with absolute almost dragging me to the starting line, I did, because that's what you just said. You got to get out there. When I found myself out there, it was a tough environment.
Yeah.
I got on the dating sites. I did all this about 10 years ago, and kind of rode that train for 3 or 4 years, and met a lot of women that I really liked and got along with. Like you said, though, about half of them after one or two times, you know, I met this girl from Huntsville whose mom was here and she was coming to Birmingham regularly. She was just a knockout and very pleasant to be around. We went out twice and I said, well, next time you come down, you want to do so-and-so. And she says, no, I don't think so. Just that suddenly, I guess I don't know what I stepped on or what I did wrong, but I was out. A lot of them, you never get to that first time out. I'm a good writer and a good communicator, sitting here in my own little cocoon. But I appreciate what you said. I think I'm a really good prospect, and I've got a lot of game, and I can be shaped in any number of ways. But it's just really tough to find. And then you get the other side where women are recently widowed or divorced. And they seem to be just eager from day one. You can kind of feel that the agenda is, you know, I can't be by myself. I've got to be married again, whether it's financial security, whether it's companionship. I mean, obviously, that is what their goal is. I did date for about 6 months another woman from Tuscaloosa who was great. I really enjoyed being around her. But after the first couple of times, she started to want to make it a lot more of a frequent thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this is going to sound like I'm the biggest ass on earth, but it became kind of a burden. Yep. She wanted to come up every Friday and hang out all weekend. And I finally said, look, it's football season. I can't do this every Saturday, you know, go to art shows and museums and all that. One weekend she came up, Tony, and this kind of puts in perspective. I said, what do you want to do this weekend? She says, well, I hear Diamonds Direct is really nice. We can go look around over there. Very subtle. And she was kidding.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is her intention was clear from day one. And, you know, finally I said, look, this just isn't working out because I'm just not in a position to, she didn't want to leave her house or her job. And I sure didn't want to live in Tuscaloosa and just be sitting on the swinging porch all day. So anyway, it's a lot tougher to find somebody who fits your kind of situation. Although I feel like I'm kind of a chameleon. I can go any number of ways, but now I find after getting out of that area and, you know, you said it before, for me, I, and again, I'm being totally frank here. I resent being rejected. I don't like it professionally. I don't like it personally. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you know better than anybody, in our profession here of doing, broadcasting and things, you run into a lot of times where you think you've got a great idea or, you know, you're perfect for the situation and they go a different direction.
Yeah.
And it stings. I mean, it's like, how can they make this decision? But it happens all the time. And it's the same thing in relationships and dating. Cause all my friends continue to hound me about, we'll get back on this site or that site. Or I was in Las Vegas and my son's coworker out there, great guy, Ray Brewer, said, I got a perfect dating site for you. And it's something about chicksontheright.com. and I don't think of myself, and I know people that listen to my other show here on TKR need to know, probably think I'm some kind of arch right-wing Rush Limbaugh conservative. I feel like I represent the common sense party. So to be tabbed as something and chicksontheright.com really chicks doesn't sound right. Like that great a fit for me, but whatever. but Tony, I don't want to audition. My resume is established. I am who I am. I don't want to go be out there and going through all of that process again. I feel like when you go to Walmart, there's a clearance shelf where they put a bunch of products that aren't moving or whatever, and they cut the prices. I feel like I've been put in the clearance department, and I don't belong there.
Are you saying
I'm still on the shelf?
Are you saying Kip Kiefer's a BOGO?
I think so.
You bring up a very interesting point too, and this is just this has been incredibly therapeutic. I don't think I'm going to go to my therapist this week. I think I've just had my therapy. Yeah. I think I could save my $175 and just give it to you. You know, my daughter the other day, we were driving down to Valleydale, and there's one of these cool boxes. You know, these cool boxes, these storage areas.
Yeah.
And she's like, is it me, Dad? And this is my 11-year-old talking, so consider the source. She goes, is it me, Dad? Or does it seem like there's these storage areas on almost every street corner? And I said, you know what's crazy? Whenever one of these storage areas open up, and there's another one just open up down by Vulcan, and it's one of the biggest storage areas in the state. And I said, before the place even opened up, it was sold out. And I said, what does that tell you about people our age who have baggage, who have crap? I said, you know, the one thing that I will never do is I will never rent a storage area unless I got something that I have to store for a couple of months. And then I'm just moving it from one place to the next in order to move into one of the home. And I never put things in the attic because I know if I put them in the attic, I'm never going to see them again. I said, that should say a lot about our dating scene and the fact that we have more storage areas now than we have funeral parlors on the face of the earth. It's amazing that we have so much space and so much baggage. And, you know, when you talk about experiences in your life, and I think you said something really interesting. I don't want to go through a resume builder. I don't want to sit down and have to go through an interview process with a woman. I've already set my standards. I've already got my experience. I already know who I am. The unfortunate thing is the person that's sitting across the table from you doesn't know that about you. And I know you really well, and this is not, you know, this could be called trying to get Kip and Tony a date show. Kip Kiefer is financially secure. Kip Kiefer loves to write poetry. Kip Kiefer loves to travel. Kip Kiefer is a great father. If you put those four things on any dating profile, you'd probably have 100,000 women beating your door down just to go out on a date with you. And so, you know, you've got all the right pieces, and I consider myself the same way. The funny thing is, and again, you know, it's funny because I always look at my exes, and obviously I do not want to go out with my ex again, because she's a totally different person than she was when I first met her. But I do look at us and go, I know that for women out there saying there's just no good guys left, I know there's two of them doing the show right now. We're out there.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly. Every time I hear that, I cringe, because it's like, you don't know what you're talking about when I hear a woman say that.
Yep. We're out there, man. We're out there. Hey, great conversation, Bo. I love it. Maybe this is something we could talk about post football season on ABC 3340. We can do a relationship show. you laugh, but you would be surprised how many people would love to watch ABC 3340 from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. You know why? Because if their teams didn't win, perhaps they're going through some relationship angst themselves. Now, all of a sudden, they go a Saturday morning. College football is over. They're like, okay, that's right. We have to start talking to each other again. We don't have football games to buffer our relationship with. You can do it. ABC 3340, 10:30, 11. It's called The Starting Lineup with Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry every Saturday morning. And of course, you can also hear Kip's show called Need to Know and the Kiefer and Curry show right here on the Tony Curry Radio. Great stuff, my friend. I look forward to catching up next week.
Yeah, our relationship on TV is going well. Tony and I, 18-5-1
crazy
in the last 12 weeks on our best bet of the week against the spread. We're not just picking who's going to win. We picked the games against the spread, and we are literally on fire.
And we went NFL this past week. We went 2-0 in the NFL. As our numbers get better and better, we're just going to break it down. But, great stuff. If you've watched the show, you're a $1,000 better. You're up about $13,000 on the season. So that's pretty good stuff.
Not bad.
I wish I could have done the Back to the Future thing and had that book that Biff had so I could look back at all my previous wins and actually be a millionaire at this point. So great stuff, but we'll look forward to seeing you Saturday morning.
All right, Tony, this has been very therapeutic. Thank you, Dr. Curry, and we'll girls, if you're out there, Tony and I are we've got our shop set up. Come on in and look around.
We're available for a double date anytime you're ready.
That would be interesting.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.